Yes, a very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev. Murray from the Curry, and I'm coming to you live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre callings on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to take this opportunity to acknowledge our traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarnup Song. All ears here on your daily program, National Talk Black. All right, now Sydney-based Aboriginal non-profit organisation Indigigrow is opening a new wholesale native plant nursery that will give it room to grow its business and provide work experience for school students and apprenticeships for Aboriginal youth. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Peter Cooley. He's the CEO of Indigigrow, that is. And we got Peter on the line. Peter, very good morning. How are you?
I think it's good afternoon, Trevor.
Yeah, good. Where are you based?
We're in Sydney.
You're in Sydney, okay, yes. Very good morning to you. So, look, Indigigrow, a new native nursery. So, give us the update on Indigigrow, please.
Oh, look, Indigigrow is a project we started here in Sydney to try and engage our young people and be able to, pass on culture and connect them to country and teach them how to care for country. So we created a plant project called Indigigrow, which allows us to, we run two plant nurseries now, obviously with our launch of our latest nursery, the wholesale nursery, yeah. And that allows us to provide employment for the young ones. We've got seven young apprentices and Indigigrow has 11 staff all up, but it allows us to then pass on cultural knowledge that we have on the plants.
Yes.
You know, and allows us to go out on country. And
so you're specialising in producing native plants, including bush tucker and species from critical endangered in eastern suburbs, Banksia scrub. So rare plants.
We do. I mean, eastern suburbs Banksia scrub isn't rare. It's actually Sydney's original plant, coastal plant community. But because of, a lot of land clearing, a lack of traditional sort of management practices or regen practices, particularly using fire, a lot of our plants have adapted to fire for regen. And when you can't do that, you have all sorts of issues obviously, plants are at risk and we have invasive species and people walking through the bush, the bush. And so it just reduces. So our plants on the coastline here in Sydney, they've been reduced to less than 3% of the original plant population that was here.
And so we're talking about apprenticeships for Aboriginal youth, students / rangers, you could say, in the horticulture space.
Excuse me. Well, I think we go across all of that.
Okay.
But yeah, they are apprentices working in the plant industry, in the nurseries, and they get a qualified skill at the end of the trade. Excuse me.
Yes.
Just got a cough attack.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. But the beauty about it is they get that qualified skill, but they also get a cultural foundation, cultural knowledge, which is really important for their well-being as young Aboriginal people. And, they get connected to country. We go out on country quite a bit and learn about the plants in the bush.
Yes.
But then they're learning how to actually propagate all of those and put them back onto country.
Fantastic. And so have you got students on board now?
Yeah, I've got seven apprentices at the moment, and I've got three sort of senior staff who are brilliant mentors for these young people. And,
yes.
But also hardworking, keep them on task, and they're just absolutely thriving, and we're actually now going into teaching some of them management, because we actually want the apprentices to come through and actually manage the two nurseries.
Yeah. And so green fingers they are, and the passion goes with it, and the vision to what you're building there, that's instilled in the students?
Absolutely. I mean, they've got good work ethics, and they're really good with plants now. They, you know, they're great with identifying plants. They, have a large range of, or able to identify a large range of our local native plants, as well as a lot of the bush foods and a lot of your popular bush foods that are out there. Our guys are all around that now.
Good. Fantastic. And apprenticeship, what's that, three, 4 years?
Yeah, they're doing a four-year apprenticeship in Parks and Gardens, and a couple of them will go on and complete horticulture after that.
Okay.
And we do that because Parks and Gardens, which covers a lot of horticulture,
yes,
can be totally delivered in the nursery, so we have the training on site as well.
Good.
Our young people don't have to travel huge distances to get to TAFE colleges, etc. The trainers come here.
Well, talking about Indigidro, this could be a template across the country.
Well, I'm hopeful of that. Look, it's taken us 5 years to get where we are, and we feel that we're building a really, really good model that potentially could be scalable,
yes,
into communities anywhere, because we all have traditional plants on country and traditional bush foods, and there's a big opportunity out there, in the bush food industry, but also the local plant industry as well. And the point of difference we bring to the industry is the cultural side of the plants as well, and that's a huge point of difference, and it's we're the only ones that can give that.
Yes, powerful. Look, it's so beautiful, and it's great to see our mob working in this space and setting up the foundation for horticulture for our black people. So fantastic. Congratulations, Indigidro, and love to see it grow. Please do keep in touch, and all the best, Peter.
Thank you. And if any of your listeners out there want to have a look at Indigigo, they can just go to our website, indigigo.com.au, and our social media, Instagram and Facebook, and have a look at what we've been doing.
Indigidro. Thank you very much. Peter, all the best. We'll talk soon, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Natalie Yande, beautiful young. Peter Cooley, his name is, CEO of Indigidro and Digidro's new native nursery. So Sydney-based Aboriginal non-profit organisation, Indigidro's opened up a new wholesale native plant nursery, and that'll give room to grow its business and provide work experience for school students and apprenticeships for Aboriginal youth. Fantastic. Black people, green fingers, there it is. Fantastic. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. And that deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. We're yarning with the bully on here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. And coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. And we'll yarn up soon, your mob. Add to the conversation. We're going to catch up with Kay Savage on the line. Kay Zaro, that is. A bit of a yarn there. Kay Zaro, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Uncle Trev. How are you going?
Good. Kay Zaro, knee savage. Look, let the mob know. Who your mob? Where you from, sister?
Okay, yeah, my dad comes from Darnley Island, Erub, in the Torres Strait, and my mum has roots back to Vanuatu, Ambram Island.
Okay, beautiful, my sister. So tell us the hat did you wear, occupation-wise, my sister?
I am currently working with Rideshare, 1300 Rideshare. Mm-hmm. So it's the little red and white taxis that you see zooming around Cairns.
Yes, Rideshare.
Yeah.
So it's like a, like Uber, like taxi, is it?
Yeah, we taxi most people, but we do some Uber, not that much, but mainly taxiing, and we have certain clients like NDIS clients,
okay.
Child safety,
So when you say ride share, stupid, you share a ride with somebody?
You know what, that's what I sort of
want. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, I'm trying to work this out, ride share, I'm thinking, so I'm going to Erval, but brother, you're going to Lake Placid. Let's get the shared taxi here. Drop me off Erval, then you go to Lake Placid. Is that how it works? Or?
No, rider is just the name that means like you share the ride between the business and yourself.
Okay, fair enough. There
so,
it is. Yes.
Yeah, whatever income comes in, it's split 50-50.
Now, just before Christmas, we had a yarn, but I don't know. How long have you been doing a job? Not long at all. Hey, Kay.
No, since July, so 6 months.
Okay, six months.
Yep.
And how are you travelling with it? You liking it?
Yeah, it's not too bad at all. Currently, I'm sort of just doing school runs in the morning and the afternoon now, so it's good. I get to come home and relax and catch up with the domestic side of things.
And at
then,
home?
jump back in the cab and do the school run in the afternoon. And yeah, but I do special jobs as well. We run up to Port Douglas or up to Caranda and things like that. So,
they say if you want to know what's going on in the world, go see a hairdresser or taxi driver. So you must have some deadly yarns there, my sister.
Yeah, so we are still looking for drivers, Trev.
Okay, you are. Good, okay. Male and females, so black and white, whatever.
Yeah, if anyone wants to drive, yeah, they're just going to be over 25, apply for a driver's authority, which costs you about $130 down at Road Transport.
Okay.
And a current open licence, and you also have to do a doctor's fit to drive examination.
Yes.
That sets you back $80 as well. It's not through Medicare. You have to actually pay that.
Sure.
But you can claim those expenses back on your tax. So.
And small investment anyway to start a career.
Yeah, and you pick your hours when you want to work and when there's availability and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's a pretty flexible job. Yeah, I really like it. Suits me down at the moment.
So what are we talking in regard to shifts-wise? Is it split shifts or, like, night shifts, or how does that work?
Yeah, you pick. So I picked, like, just working day. So, like, when I first started, I did 7 till 5 in the afternoon.
Mm.
And then I changed over the Christmas break to just doing nights, doing a couple of hours in the afternoon to early evening. And now school's back, so we're back to 7 till 5 again, but I've even changed that again. So now I'm only doing a couple of hours in the morning and then the school run in the afternoon.
Good, fantastic. That's deadly, my sister. So congratulations. And so you are screaming out for more drivers. And as a female, night shifts.
Yeah, it is sort of a bit daunting, but most of the customers we get, they just want to get home, you know, or their younger kids, you know, just leaving Cairns, going back out to Edmonton or something like that. So,
sure.
You know, and I mean, you just lock the door, and if you don't want to let anyone in, you just
sure.
Say, no, I can't
exactly, yeah, exactly, yeah, you're cool. Ride Chairs only based in Cairns, is that right?
Only based in Cairns, I think, at this moment, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, well, fantastic. Well, to all our listeners out there, local mob there, looking for work. Looking for a different change. And it could be even casual part-time. It could be over and above your full-time job, couldn't it?
That's right. So at the moment, I'm also doing basketball again, Trev, as I spoke to you before.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, so quickly tell us that yarn.
Community Basketball League again.
Yep. And that's young Indigenous basketballers?
Yeah, Indigenous kids. So any kids out there that want to play basketball, it's from 12 years to 14 and eight months old. Boys and girls we are looking for. Still have some spots left on our teams. If any of your kids or if you know kids that are Indigenous that want to come and play with us, yeah, it'd be great to have you on board.
And how long does that season run for?
Yeah, so we've got our last training this Sunday. So if anyone wants to come down to the courts on Sunday between 1 and 3. We'll be training our last training and putting all our kids into teams. And then we kick off the following week on the 5th of February.
And that's at the Fish Tank, is it?
Yeah, we run the tournament for 8 weeks.
8 weeks, okay, fantastic. All right.
8 weeks. So it goes to the 26th of March.
Yeah.
And then after that we pick a rep side to go to Gold Coast to play in the National Indigenous Basketball Tournament. So this tournament happens all over in every state of Australia, and then we all meet in Gold Coast for the National Tournament, and we play against all our other countrymen from all over Australia. Yeah,
and there's representatives for all grades?
Sorry?
Representatives for all grades that go to Gold Coast?
No, just under 14s.
Under 14s, okay, lovely.
Yep,
okay,
just
sure.
Under 14s. So, and from there it leads to the junior NBA. So they will have NBA coaches down there.
Yes.
When we go to Gold Coast, we run a 3-day NBA camp down there as well for 3 lucky people out of our boys' team and our girls' team to attend.
Yes.
Going to that camp in itself is just on another level for the kids. We saw it last year and it was unreal. And if you missed it, you missed out.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, just quickly, correct me if I'm wrong, but affiliation with Paddy Mills?
Yeah, so this is the brainstorm of Paddy Mills.
Yes.
Bringing this tournament to Australia. And junior NBA has been around for a long time.
Okay.
It's just never been, you know, I suppose picked up by basketball in Australia, you know, since its inception, you know. And when Pat started playing in the NBA, he was actually approached to start the program in Australia. He just ran with it and said, yep,
of course,
I'm doing for my kids. So,
exactly.
Yeah, and now it's come to fruition, and it's such a good platform to be on, you know, for kids. And the end goal, though, Trev, is for Pat's, like, looking at targeting our kids now for the Brisbane Olympics in, you know, in 2032.
Yes.
Yeah, so these kids will be of age now to be in that team. So that's why he's going hard with 14s. And we're actually running under 17s as well at the end of the year.
Okay.
So, yeah, parents and players can look forward to, you know, finishing 14s and then looking ahead to 17s.
Yes. Well, big shout-out to Paddy Mills. Yeah, fantastic, and what he's doing there. And, look, he's an NBA player and kicking goals in so many facets, but hasn't forgotten his roots, which is fantastic
That's
as
right.
well, my sister. Good yarn with you, taxi lady, basketball lady. Good yarn. Please do keep in touch, my sister, and big shout-out to your beautiful family.
Will do. Thanks, Uncle Trev.
Oh, loves you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Beautiful yarn there. That's Kay Zara. Yarn up strong there as an share ride. She's a taxi driver with Share Ride and talking about opportunities for Indigenous men and women to go and work there, put in an application, and fantastic opportunity. And also talking about the basketball, Indigenous basketball, with Paddy Mills at the foundation of that fantastic movement. Also like to give out a big shout out to Barry Cedric and his wife, happy anniversary, 13th anniversary, and all the best to you guys, and madly in love, and we've got a track here for you by Isolde Rant. Happy anniversary, do enjoy.
A big bouquet of roses came today, tied with pretty ribbons and a card to say, I send these pretty flowers with love to you from me, and to wish you happy anniversary. For all the years that we have shared, for the loving way that you have cared for me, happy anniversary. And when all those plans we made went wrong, you stood by me all along the way, said our love a big bouquet of roses came today, tied with pretty ribbons and a card to say, I send these pretty flowers with love to you from me, and to wish you happy anniversary. Though the years pass quickly now, you look the same to me somehow. The love that shone within your eyes remains, and when you place your hand in mine, it seems we stop the hands of time. Again you pledge your love to me, darling, happy anniversary. A big bouquet of roses came today, tied with pretty ribbons and a card to say, I send these pretty flowers with love to you from me, and to wish you happy anniversary. Oh, my darling, happy anniversary.
Yeah, deadly track, Yarra Rangers with the man himself, Barry Cedric, and a happy anniversary to him and his beautiful wife, 13 years, fantastic, still madly in love, and that track there was, as well that went out to them was the song Happy Anniversary, and that was played by Isla. And Yarning Up Strong. So all the best to you guys. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong? Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yeah, Yarning with the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trevor Trinity, Trevor Murray from Macquarie, and coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. As BBM Bumba Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. All right, calls for men to make the right call across the long weekend. With many people taking Friday off for an extra long weekend, Rural Life Saving is urging men to make the right call when they're on, in or near the water with their mates and families. Research by the Rural Life Saving Society Australia shows that drowning deaths spike on public holidays and long weekends, with the risk of drowning almost doubling. This summer, six people drowned on Christmas Day and Boxing Day alone, and that's six people too many. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Belinda Lawton, National Manager, Strategic Communications and Partnership at Rural Life Saving. On the line, we have Belinda. Good morning. How are you?
Hello, good, thanks, Trevor. How
are
you doing?
I'm good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, a very important conversation, and we talk about long weekends. We Australians love our long weekends, and we celebrate, and but we need to celebrate very carefully, especially around water. And with the death, like you said, just mentioned there, six people have passed over Christmas and Boxing Day alone around water, and six too many, yes?
Yes, absolutely. That's six families who are in mourning, and we send our condolences to them. It's a terrible statistic, and we want people to be able to get out and enjoy the water safely, have a great time, but go home to their families at the end of the day.
So, yeah, so very important. And Rural Life Saving Australia calls for men to make the right call across the long weekend. Men particular, any reason why?
Yes, look, in men, in the case of all the drowning deaths that we've had both across the summer and generally over the last 20 years, we can see that more than three quarters of all those who drown are men, and okay. It's predominantly in that 18 to 65 age group. And what we know is there's a few factors that lead into that. One is not wearing a life jacket. If you don't have a life jacket on when you're in a boat or you're rock fishing, then if anything goes wrong, you're much more likely to drown. Mm. Now, thank goodness life jackets have changed a lot since I was growing up in the 80s. They're not those terrible boxy things that they were. You can get terrific life jackets that are really comfortable and easy to wear. So when you're out there around the water, you've got that thing to keep you a little bit safer should an emergency happen.
So we as men, we start to think, or we think like, you know, as strong as we are and we got this, it's about safety, isn't it, you know?
Look, it really is. And the other major factor is alcohol. We know that in a quarter of all drowning deaths, the blood alcohol level was above 0.05, so above what you're allowed to drive with. And what happens when people have had a few beers is that they don't think as sensibly about the risks as they might, and they get back in the water when they shouldn't. And, you know, they think that distances don't quite look so long, easy to swim out to that, easy to swim back to this. They just take risks that they wouldn't ordinarily take. So we're asking blokes really to make the right call. And if you're out with your mates, you know, and you've had a mate who's had a few beers and then wants to get back in for a swim, tell them it's not a great idea. Be a good mate and make sure that they get home safely.
Exactly. And also, while we're on the subject, also our young ones as well, when being responsible, talking about drinking, what have you, but responsible if you're looking after kids as well around
water. Absolutely. And look, and kids under five, they have to be within arm's reach of you at all times. It's not like in the movies. When children drown, it's absolutely silent and it can take as little as 20 seconds. That's as much time as it takes to pick up a text message on your phone. It happens so quickly. And little kids, they don't flail around. You don't get that sound at all from them. So it's having them within arm's reach, so if something goes wrong, you can get to them really quickly. But also brushing up on your CPR skills, because accidents do happen, and you know no parent is perfect. Just not possible to watch kids 100% of the time, all day, every day.
Yes.
But if you've got those CPR skills, that can really save a life. It makes an enormous difference if you've got those skills.
So we're saying have a great weekend, but a safe weekend, and let's make the right call. Thank you very much for your yarn there, Belinda, and all the best to your team, your family. Stay safe, and we'll yarn soon, Belinda.
Thank you very much.
You take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
A beautiful yarn there, Belinda Lawton, and very important yarn. Calls for men to make the right call when they're on, in, or near the water with their mates and families. So as burly men you are, I think you're deadly, my brothers. We just need to make the right call and keep the drinking down. I mean, around water, what have you. Wear the jackets, the life-saving jackets. That's what it's all about. And keep safe and need to come home to your family. So there it is. And it's very sad, but we lost six people during Christmas Day and Boxing Day. In the small time there of celebration. Now we've got the long weekend coming up, and people tend to take the Friday off because Thursday is the public holiday with their Australian Day, or Survival Day, we call it, and they take the Friday off to extend that weekend, but we need to be safe around water, and don't forget our pickaninnies as well. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, and I'm going to go back to that Delhi track there for Little River Band. Happy anniversary going out to Barry Cedric and his beautiful wife. Do enjoy.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my
somebody new. I see it in your eyes, Lord, it's no surprise what he can do for you. But when I look back, baby, when I look back to what we had, and I know I've got good times, but there were just as many bad, and so I wish you
happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my
mail, and the card reads
happy anniversary.
Oh,
Yeah, no more boomerang. Colour Stone here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong? 1-800-422-416. Yarn up with the bully one here. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM, Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Yarn up strong. You can text a brother as well, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. Otherwise, yarn up strong on 1-800-422-416. Always was, always will be. Survival Day, January 26th. Over at Yarrabah, your mobs, come and join us. BBM Radio will be out there doing the outdoor broadcast. There'll be food stalls as well, live entertainment, community stalls, fishing comp, traditional dances, sandcastles, Kona husking, and best damper prizes. So there it is, over at Yarrabah. Love to see you mob there. Big shout out to Yarri Mob. Thank you for having us. Looking forward to mingling with you, Deadly Mob, over there. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? 1-800-422-416.
Hey, what get on your mob? It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Macaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, that choppy number again, 1-800-422-416. Now, I'm going to catch up a yarn there with Narita Waite, CEO of the Victorian Aboriginal Legal Service. As we say here, Indigenous representatives celebrate decision not to replace law with police move-on powers. Victoria to end public drunkenness laws with no arrest powers for police. The daughter of Tanya Day, who died in custody after being arrested for being drunk on a train, has welcomed a decision by the Victorian government not to replace the state's public intoxication laws with new move-on powers, despite opposition from the police union. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with Narita Waite on the line. Narita, very good morning, sister. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
So my name is Narita Waite. I'm the CEO of the Victorian Aboriginal Legal Service. I'm Yuli Yorta, Nanjiri, and I have Tanarong connections. And I'm based on Wurundjeri land in Preston.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you very much. So Victoria to end public drunkenness laws with no arrest powers for police. Look, we think family, condolences going to the family of young Tanya Day, who died in custody after being arrested for being drunk on a train. So we're talking about moving people who are drunk, move them on, rather arresting them and taking them to the watch house, yeah?
Yeah, correct. So,
what's your take on that?
Look, this decision by the Victorian government not to introduce coercive powers for police in relation to decriminalisation of public drunkenness is incredible, something that we have been advocating for alongside the family of Tanya Day for quite some time now. It is really good that this has occurred, and it's also important to remember that Tanya's uncle, Harrison Day, was one of the actual members profiled in relation to the recommendation to decriminalise public drunkenness. So, you know, this is something that this family has been fighting for generations now.
Yes.
So it's incredible work.
Sure. So best to move people on rather than arresting them. And if you look at Tanya Day's situation, well, she'd be still with us today if she wasn't arrested.
And look, what this allows for is making sure that we are having a public health response, that outreach workers can provide people with support, medical professionals where that person is in need of medical assistance can assist without them being unnecessarily detained in the police cell.
And public workers will be some First Nation people in those positions too.
Yes. There's currently four trial sites ongoing.
Okay.
Right here in the city of Yarra. You have Daddy Munro who are involved in that trial. They're an Aboriginal organisation, and they're doing a fantastic job to make sure that they develop a model that works for community.
Yes.
And that services their needs.
Well, you can't be black on black, and that's what's happening right there, Narita. And look, it's great to see. So you welcome the laws with no new arrest powers for police.
Yes, 100%.
Fantastic. Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. Well, it's good news. Thank you for your yarn. How long have you been in your position?
since late 2018. So,
how are you enjoying that journey there, Nerida?
I started out as a lawyer and primarily in government service, and I was lucky enough to move over to Bowers in 2014, and it's been a pleasure to work for community since then, and now obviously having a leadership role since 2018 has been an incredible honour.
Leading from the front, my sister, fantastic. Thank you for your yarn. Please do keep in touch, and big shout out to your deadly team there, and we'll yarn soon, sister.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there. That's Nerida Waite, CEO of Victorian Aboriginal Legal Service, and Victoria to end public drunkenness laws with no new arrest powers for police. So the government on Tuesday confirmed it would not give police any new powers to arrest people for being drunk in public once the existing offence is decriminalised in November 2023. Looking at other news here today, our most important year, Pearson, that's Noel Pearson, fears reconciliation will be lost forever without voice. Indigenous leader Noel Pearson says Australia is entering its most important year since the arrival of the First Fleet. He fears the nation will forever squander its opportunity at reconciliation. Leading Voice to Parliament campaigner Noel Pearson says reconciliation may never be achieved if this year's referendum on the new advisory body fails. The Indigenous academic and community leader said he feared the opposition leader Peter Dutton and other voice sceptics were calling for more detail as a diversion to talk down the proposal and ultimately cause the referendum to be lost. We've got to understand what is at stake, and that is the chance for reconciliation. If the referendum is kiboshed through gameplay and spoiling game by the opposition, we will lose the opportunity forever. Pearson on ABC's Radio National on Monday. Conservative politicians and some left-wing Indigenous activists led by Green Senator Lydia Thorpe have raised concerns about the voice for months. On Monday, the Coalition's Indigenous Affairs spokesman, Julian Lesser, a long-time supporter of the voice, reviewed that is backing for the proposal, was wavering because of what he described as a lack of detail about how it would work. But Pearson said it was well known through years of discussion about the voice that the referendum would be a vote on the principle of new Indigenous consultative body, and technical detail would be decided by Parliament if and when the referendum gave it the mandate to craft legislation. This demand for detail is diversion, he says. Detail concerns legislation, not the Constitution, and the referendum is about the Constitution. Legislation is for the Parliament. The responsibility for detail is Parliament's. So the people responsible for the detail on voice are people like Peter Dutton, Anthony Albanese, Adam Brandt, David Pocock, Allegra Spender, Julian Lesser, and himself, Patrick Dodson. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese on Monday suggested the Coalition had not debated the voice in good faith since he announced a draft referendum question and constitutional amendment in July. Now people can always go there and try and muddy the waters. It's a very simple thing to do because not everyone has knowledge of our constitution and all of that, he said on the Nine's Today Show. A voice to Parliament will not be a funding body. It will not run programs. It will simply be a source of advice to government. Lesser, the Coalition's most senior pro-voice figure who worked with Indigenous leaders such as Pearson on earlier concerts before he entered politics, said the Albanese government needed to explain exactly how the body would work. The government has repeatedly referred to a detailed report by two academics that set out how the voice may work, but Lesser argued Labor had never formally responded to this report. I spend the summer going around talking to reasonable Australians, people that I would have expected would people like to support the voice. They're saying to me things like, look, I want to vote yes, but I'm just not sure I can because no one explained to me how this will work. I think the government's ignoring the reasonable concerns of reasonable Australians. When asked on radio precisely what type of details he was seeking, Lesser said it was unclear where the new provision would be placed in the constitution and stated the government had not explained why it had chosen to pursue one model over another. He argued government working groups were operated in a private and non-transparent manner. On ABC News Breakfast, Albanese promised more detail would be released. There will be more detail that's being worked through and referendum working group, and that will be released. But let's be clear, already last July, I released what Australians would potentially be voting for, a draft question and a draft constitutional change. That was something that was requested. There hasn't been any suggested changes to that draft from the coalition, and they have more than 6 months to put forward constructively. This Masterhead report last week that anti-Australia Day rallies in Sydney, Melbourne and Brisbane will march under slogans calling for treaty and sovereignty to take priority over voice to parliament, highlighting the antipathy to the voice of among left-wing Indigenous activists. There's a point in the clock face where the far left meets the far right, and all of a sudden, the fringe of the left and fringe on the right common ground, they're on a unity ticket. They're saying the same thing. That is where you get Lydia Thorpe, Coalition Senator, Jacinta Price holding hands. Pearson said, this year is the most important year in the past 235 years. That's my assertion. This is the most important year, and this referendum is the most important question concerning Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians since the First Fleet. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Add to the conversation here. Tell us your thoughts. And National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.